1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders who impact our community. Now, the recipient of three First Place Virginia Association of Broadcasters Awards and the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Our focus this morning, Spotsylvania County Schools. Amanda Blaylock, a school board member with us this morning. Amanda, it's good to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
You are a frequent guest. Usually you have people in with you. I think this might be the first time you have come alone.
And
you're getting the whole hour. And that's how I wanted it today, because there's a lot of stuff going on and a little bit controversial in a way. But wanted to talk about the school budget with you, because a lot of people have an interest in that, concerned about that. The Board of Supervisors did not fully fund the school budget this year. And I know you and others were very disappointed at that, because this has been a budget through the whole budget season, from when Dr. Baker in January announced and gave the budget, the school board worked on the budget, gave it to the Board of Supervisors, and you were all pleased with the budget that you presented the board.
It was a wonderful budget. I was very pleased with the budget this year. In fact, you would have thought it would have been a smoother year. We were not asking for that much in revenue. It was around $1.3 million, which is a small amount for a school division to ask for. And unfortunately, it just didn't pan out our way. And when the vote came down, we ended up with 0.01% of an increase that averages up to around $17,000 over what we normally would get, that level funding, which was a huge disappointment.
Well, and when you talk about just cost of living, that's not even cost of living.
No, it's not cost of living. If you think about it, a school board is funded by state funds, federal funds, local funds, and then there'll be other funds, grants, what have you. And if you look at the numbers, the state increased their funds by about 4% this year. Federal increased around 5%. The other funds came in around 6%. And you can see they sort of balance each other. And then our local funds come in at 0.01. It was quite noticeable. We were snubbed, if you will, money-wise this year.
And I look at situations with other school boards and schools in Northern Virginia. A lot of times go to their boards of supervisors. Stafford's done it, too, with you're asking for $4, $5, $6, $7, $8 million more. And historically, Spotsylvania hasn't done that, and especially this year in another tight year.
No, we don't. In fact, I've seen other school divisions ask for something like a $17 million increase, and they'll end up with $2 or $3 million more, sometimes maybe $6 million more. We come in for exactly what we need. We're not asking for anything above a needs-based budget, and it was $1.3 million. And now the school board finds themselves in a situation where it's about $900,000 now that the numbers have fallen that we're going to have to close the gap with. But it is very important to note, it will not be through the 3% COLA that we're offering, the raise in the substitute pay, the stipends that we were increasing. We will still increase all of those things.
And that's something I know. As soon as it was known that the schools weren't going to be fully funded, a lot of people had that question, and you and others immediately through social media and other ways said no, that the raises stay.
That was in the funded part of the budget. We're not about to mess with that. And I have heard a board of supervisor mention that the 3% is a pay raise. I would like to clarify that's a COLA. That's a cost of living. We would like to do more, but we're not going to touch that. Our staff deserves it. They've deserved it for many years, and they sat frozen for a lot of years. So that was in the funded part. One thing that's helped us a little bit is that we did do an ERIP program, an early retirement program, and we did have 106 of our employees. That breaks down to 64 teachers, 37 staff, and 5 administrators who have put in to take advantage of that. That's going to be about a $1.5 million savings. So that was part of the help we have in kind of closing this gap. But we still have to defer some items. Mm-hmm. However, I've seen items deferred for years and years and years. I don't know when we stop saying that they're deferred and they're just not happening.
And we're going to talk about that as we go along this morning. Amanda Blaylock with the Spotsylvania School Board here. The early retirement program, your thoughts on, I would get your thoughts on that, because I've always thought for the people that are able to take advantage of it, at times it's good, but it always, in some ways, as you sit back and you look at it, what it means day to day, the county is losing teachers, and sometimes really good teachers, yeah, with a lot of experience.
Well, that's right, and that's not our intention. This is meant to be a win-win. This is for someone who is looking to retire. They have the criteria to retire, mm-hmm, because we do have a rubric. You must meet criteria to retire, and it provides them additional funding in their retirement, and it provides the savings for us as well. So it's certainly not in any way meant to be a way that we lose our very veteran, very, yeah, knowledgeable teachers, and in no way is that the approach. And this is done by many school divisions. This, yeah, is not just us. This is just something that's pretty common.
And I know a few years ago, the one you did a few years ago was a big help as far as what you were able to do as far as the budget in the last few years.
Right. That one was over $30 million in savings. And so we may even get more than 1.5 as the fall. It'll take about the fall for us to get a good, strong number on that. We have some things we're doing at the school board level. Our CFO, LaShawn Gaines, is wonderful at making sure we get every penny. But again, it was just a very large disappointment that the local government just did not fund us adequately, even after we heard that we felt like we would be. So it would definitely be advantageous for both of us to come to an agreement of a revenue plan.
Well, and some board members said publicly, Supervisor McLaughlin in one of the work sessions, one of his goals was to, right, fully fund the school budget.
Yeah, and I think that's what was disappointing, is we had the feeling, and we do have good relationships with the Board of Supervisors, that we did have the feeling that they were going to fund the schools. Now, would they have funded exactly what we were asking for? Maybe not, but something adequate and something that would get us over the hump. But when you think about this, the Board of Supervisors projected $5.4 million in new revenues this year. The share for us was $17,408, 0.3%. So if that's the case, they took 99.7% of that. Hmm. In a county where, if you listen to the advocates, education is a top priority, along with, of course, fire safety and all that.
Yeah.
And they're the Board of Supervisors, so I understand they have to deal with a bigger picture. But I can guarantee you that education is a top priority. Before the recent boards, there was a survey every single year done, if,
yeah,
you remember.
Yep.
Every year. The number one priority voted by our citizens every year was education.
And it wasn't close.
Oh, no, no, no. Education was it. You got to think about Spotsylvania County's biggest employer is the school division at over 3,000 employees. We're servicing 24,000 kids. People in this community care about a good, decent, proper education for their child, and it takes money.
Before we delve into some of the numbers and talk more, and we'll do that when we come back from our break, I guess it is important to make note that the way government works in Virginia, all of your funding comes from the Board of Supervisors. You have to, it all goes through that, and that's where your funding comes from, the board.
Well, that's right. What I was saying earlier, we get some state funds, federal, yep, funds, and then a small portion of others, which would be a grant or something. But the local funds are exactly what we're looking for every year, and I feel like that this year was just a huge disappointment. I don't think, since I've been on the board, I've ever seen us done this way, if you will. So we're going to do okay, though, because the school division is very focused. We're a focus group, and we know what we have to do, and our students are not going to suffer because of this. But I do believe the Board of Supervisors need to value education more than I saw in this number.
I would guess that this, and you would hope it would be, in hearing what I have and seeing things on Facebook, that this is going to be it's an election year for some
it
members
is.
On the board that mm-hmm. On the Board of Supervisors, and this will be something that is talked about during the fall campaigns.
It absolutely, and it should be talked about in the fall campaigns. Where are your priorities? What are you doing in the county? But and I will say, as a Board of Supervisor, being an elected official myself, it's not an easy job to do. You stand up and you take beatings at a lot of times that you feel are unfair towards you, and it's not a lucrative thing. You don't do it for that. You do it because you love your county, you love the children, or you love what you're doing. So it's not an easy thing, and I give them credit for all of that. But it is an election year, and I think it is fair to ask myself and all elected officials, what are your priorities? And can you back that up with your votes and your funding? And right now, it would be difficult for them to back up that this education is a top priority.
Amanda Blaylock with the Spotsylvania School Board here. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WF.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking about the Spotsylvania school budget this morning with Amanda Blaylock, who is a member of the school board. The Board of Supervisors did not fully fund the Spotsylvania budget this year. That is our focus this morning. Amanda, when you look at overall just kind of the history of in recent years as far as what the schools have gotten from the Board of Supervisors, mm-hmm. What's that all look like? Are you able to see a trend here or anything?
No, I actually mentioned at the work session the other day that it is really hard to set your mind as to what you think the local transfer is going to be. Last year, of course, obviously was a lot better than this year. The years before, I think, were a little iffy, but it was a very hard time. But I did sense there was an effort to give us what we needed to make a very decent needs-based budget. But this year, it just kind of came out of the blue that it was so low at $17,000. I wasn't prepared for that. I know that our CFO and our staff was prepared because we got to be prepared for anything.
Yeah.
And so we had our list of what we would have to do if that happened. Unfortunately, we had to pull the list out. That was the problem.
So what happens now? Because you mentioned that the part of the budget that dealt with raises, that was in the budget. That's part of the budget. That's staying. Mm-hmm. But the $900,000 that you've got to figure out what comes out. How does the board or how does the staff, the school staff, start dealing with something like that?
Well, they come to us with a scenario of what and ask us what we think about this, and they'll give us a list of things that they are prepared to defer, if you will, some curriculum, some online lab programs that we wanted to purchase. We had a couple of bus replacements that we're going to defer. It'll be things like that. It's all non-comp. The things that we were trying to not touch is the 3% COLA, the subpay, the hourly pays, the stipends. We had 58 positions that we needed for classrooms, and a lot of them were needed for compliance by the federal government. Those will not be touched. So what we're trying to touch is things that stay away from that classroom, but it doesn't mean that they're not just as needed. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the buses alone, the software that we wanted, and things that we felt would be advantageous for the children in the classroom to get to a next level that we're going to have to defer.
And like you say, a lot of things get deferred, and with some of these things, in some of the years, as we look at years down the line, they're going to have to be replaced eventually. And mm-hmm. I know you mentioned just a minute ago about wanting to kind of have a, I guess it's any board's hope that you can kind of rely on what you're going to get as far as funding. And this year has kind of thrown something at you with that there's an unknown now as you put budgets together in future years.
Well, there is. And there's some things that are deferred that you can't really get back. For example, one thing we're deferring is a lot of the professional development for our staff. And things that would be so advantageous for them. And we can't do that. It absolutely did. Like I said, we were prepared, but it certainly wasn't expected. So it did throw us a little bit. And like I say, there was no previous trend to really show that this was going to come. So,
will any of this affect class sizes?
No, but I don't think we're going to have improvement on class sizes in a big way, because we are not really able to put the amount of staff back into schools that we need to at this time. But no, we should not see larger class sizes.
Amanda Blaylock here from the Spotsylvania School Board. We're talking about the Spotsylvania school budget this morning and just what some of the cuts need. You've got a lot of numbers there, mm-hmm. in front of you. And do you want to run down some of the things that as you look at this and what the board is dealing with? I just see you have a lot of numbers, and I'll let you kind of go with some of the things you've got there.
Well, yeah, when you were talking about looking at what's happened in the past, I think one big thing to point out is that if you look at FY 2000, and this is just a huge snapshot, the school division would receive about 60% of the budget. And it is now 2015, and we're receiving under 50% at 48.9%. huge drop for us. When the county side has increased from 39.3 in 2000, they now receive 51.1. So there is an increase for them. So I just think that I don't think it's on purpose. I'm not saying this is a someone sits out and says let's not fund children. I don't. I just think we need to really take a closer look at what our priorities are. And I'm here to advocate for the public education system. And I feel like we need to have a bigger priority on their on the Board of Supervisors agenda when they go to vote every year. And just seeing that drop. When you think of the needs, how much it's increased.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very telling.
No, that I had not heard that statistic, but that, that statistic alone shows just how – and eventually I would think that you keep making cuts like that and you can keep juggling things and putting Band-Aids on things. Right. But eventually it does affect things.
Yeah, and the reason I think the school division has done so well and the children have not suffered is because we are a team that looks very far out. And so if you think about just in the past 8 or 9 years, we have done some major things to make sure that we did not give pink slips. We were able to implement the ERIP program. Mm-hmm. We were able to outsource the middle and high school custodial system. That was a huge savings. There's been large pieces that we've done. We restructured central office a few years ago under Dr. Redinger, and that was a huge savings. There's been many things.
The food services was...
The food services, and that was even before I was on the board that they outsourced, and that was... A great savings. And so the big pieces like that have been probably the thing that has been the safety net for us, because it made such major savings that we were able to keep teachers in the classroom, buses on the road, the lights on, and then still add programs. So not only that, we're still, even though we're in this situation, I don't want it to mean that we're dire. We're still dreaming. We're still looking for new things. We're still putting the IB program in Spotsylvania High School. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of exciting things we're doing. But it's budget season, and these are questions about the budget, and I think we just need to be real about them.
And as we approach graduation season, you see that a lot of students are going to a lot of prestigious colleges and universities and getting a lot of things. But you do look at
that's true.
Does the fact that you're dealing with some of these numbers and having to really fight for every penny, it seems, each year, mm-hmm. does that impact getting people who want to run for the school board or who want to be involved at this level?
I think so. I mean, I think you have to have a servant's heart and a civic heart to do this, and I believe every one of the Board of Supervisors have that. I believe all the school board members have that. It's not about the person. They are giving their time to their county, and for that I'm grateful and appreciative and always will be. It's not an easy task. You get a lot of black eyes in our position. People you can never make them all happy. But I do think it absolutely defers people from wanting to get involved. I remember when I was running for office, and actually I'll never forget this, that one of my friends walked up to me, and it was my first run for office, and she said to me, "Yeah, but Amanda, you're one person. Do you really think you can make a difference?" And I realized that's not the attitude we need.
Yeah.
We need to, and I remember looking at her and saying, "No, I know I can." And that's what we need is leaders and people in there who know they can make a difference and aren't afraid to step out a little bit and just do what's right. Right. I've learned in this political world and local government, it's very hard to please everyone. So what you have to do is put your eye on the prize and do what's right. And in my case, if I can answer, is this the best for the children of the county? Then the answer is yes. And I can't listen to all the naysayers at either side of my ear. And I feel the same way about the Board of Supervisors. Is this what's right for our county? And at the end of the day, you have to be able to have that very, very focused civic heart to do the right thing. And people it's a hard job. People don't want to do it. Yeah, and that's why you see a lot of people unopposed sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the day of the vote, when the county supervisors made their budget vote, and I thought they were talking about, you know, the schools would get the $17,000, but mm-hmm. more. But I thought I misunderstood something, because to me that was just such a small number, mm-hmm. and it was kind of like a why bother kind of number. And when it did turn out to be that way, I can imagine the shock that you all had.
Oh yeah, that way. Yeah, I actually Couldn't believe it either. We did receive about $320,000 of some funds that were tied up from the Massaponics Church Road.
The road, yeah.
Yeah, right where Cedar Forest, when it was being built, we had some CIP money. It was money that they couldn't spend anyway. So they did release that, and that was a help. And I was kind of, you know, ready to hear where we were going to end up in the other end. And to get only $17,000 was, I wasn't ready for that number.
So at this point, I guess you would recommend that if people have questions, that they should talk to whoever their individual supervisor is, or just let their voice be known for election purposes or for next year.
Well, that's exactly right. And talk to your school board member if you have questions about what happened this year, why 17,000. Then we could give them some of these numbers that we have access to, and we can show them exactly what the trend has been. And something that we're really advocating for is get on a revenue sharing plan with the Board of Supervisors. And I think that would make things a little smoother. If we would sort of know what to expect, and we could plan a little bit better.
As you looked at the budget for next year, are there any big things coming up next year that are gonna change things as far as what you're going to be asking for?
No, we don't have anything major on the table. However, we will be having to make up for what we did not get this year. So I will be curious to see how our budget, when it's presented by Dr. Baker, how that falls. And is the gap going to be larger because so little was given this year? I have no idea which way that would go. But I would be curious if our gaps, you know, $1.3 million for our entire budget is very small for a gap. So I would be curious to see if that gap grows.
Well, in this year, you were kind of, as I recall, you were aided by the fact that insurance costs were a little bit lower, and that almost never happens.
That almost never happens. So, again, there's been some good news and some things that have helped us. The composite index sort of stays the same, and you never know about that. It is very hard for our CFO and her team to do our budget because there's so many unknowns until the last minute. Even as we sit here today, some things are going to fluctuate that we won't know until the fall. And so, although they won't be big numbers, they will fluctuate. Like the ERIP program, for example.
Yeah.
There may be more money from that, more than the 1.5 that we know we have, and we'll know that in the fall. So there's little things like that that may help us. And that, of course, would go into the next budget cycle and may be able to keep the gap at a very small level.
When will the school board adopt the final budget?
May 11th.
Okay.
May 11th is our big day, and I have not heard one board member. I can honestly say I think all seven of us are extremely pleased with Dr. Baker's budget. It's truly one of the best I've seen in years. I'm just so proud of their team and their commitment to children.
Well, I will say that as you've had a couple of work sessions on this and talked about it, everyone on the board has kind of taken it's like you've been this morning talking about disappointment, but taking the approach of we're going to make this work.
That's right. And that's who we are as a school board. Our school board, I'm just so proud of everyone. And I love the way no matter what hits us, we are ready. And we're going to focus on the kids. And that's what it's all about. You just keep them in your tunnel vision at the end. They're our end result. That's who we're working for. And if everything we do is for them, then we're doing okay. And I think that the whole board has shared they are disappointed. And I think that's the word we're all using, that we had hope for better, but we're settled where we are. We're going to move on, and May 11th we will pass a very good budget.
Will there be any changes in like summer school, those kind of programs?
No, those are on go as planned. That is all in place. We're looking forward to that and graduation. We're business as usual.
Amanda Blaylock with the Spotsylvania School Board here. More coming up this morning on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:32.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Voice it now on Facebook. Search News Talk 1230 WFVA and place your comments now. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania School Board member Amanda Blaylock, our guest this morning. We're talking school things. We'll talk a little bit more about the budget, then a few other things going on in Spotsylvania. When we talk, Amanda, about the the money that you're having to having the $900,000 now that you're working to close the gap. Some things have to be cut. Do you know at this point what is likely to not be funded?
I do. And again, this hasn't been voted on, but what we're looking at as a collective team is some maintenance, repair parts, supplies, things like that. That's going to add up to around $200,000. Some professional learning, some leadership development, around $130,000. Some technology software, as I spoke of earlier, that would be somewhere around $100,000. Transportation replacement buses on hold, another close to $100,000. Instruction purchase services, and that's the different things you would want for the classrooms. You know, they can run anywhere around, you know, $80,000 to $90,000. Some e-lab, some online learning, some curriculum pieces that may add up to about $30,000 or $40,000. And in this scheme, we're trying to get to the number of 910. 910,000 is really the bottom line after what we now that we know is coming from all of our funding sources, state, federal, other, and local, and what has sort of fallen in our favor with a few things. Mm-hmm. Our gap is around $910,000. And those things should be able to close that gap. They will not go away. They are going to go on a deferment. If we see improvement in the fall, we will reinstate these things immediately.
Okay. A lot of times, one of the arguments that I hear the Board of Supervisors often make sometimes with school funding will be, well, the school enrollment hasn't been increasing in recent years.
Yeah, that's an argument that is really doesn't hold water, let's just call it. You have needs of children that need to be met, because things that are increasing are our number of special needs children and the things that we're mandated to do. And they know that we have federal mandates, just like they are in situations that they can't help. And I can sympathize with that. It's really not about that. However, we are getting an increase, but it's not the number just because it hasn't shot up like they are talking about. Your needs are still there, and the mandate is still there. Mm-hmm. And we receive federal mandates all the time, but the one thing you can assure yourself of is they're not going to come funded, but they still have to be done. In fact, mandates don't bother me. It's the unfunded part that bothers me, because a lot of them are very good. You take the if you're a senior this year, when you entered freshman year, you were for the first time in the state of Virginia required to take a financial class, a financial economic class, mm-hmm. and that was a state-mandated class. There was no funding with it. So you are left to what teacher is going to teach that, who's going to learn that curriculum, and you were looking at, does this go to an English department, does this go to the marketing department? It was, I remember at the time, us just really battling, who is going to do this? And what teacher do we put this on their plate? And then we have nothing to take off the plate. So it just was very frustrating at that time. But that class was wonderful. If you think about the concept of what you were teaching kids, of course you could support that. It's something that's been needed for a long time. But that sort of tells you how you get in that, okay, we've got to do it, but we have no, there's no funding for a new teacher. And if they want you to put it on an existing teacher, what can we take off this teacher's plate? And they don't offer us that option. So it ends up being, you know, something that we always worked through it, and we did. And like I say, it's the seniors this year were the first class to have that, so we clearly worked it out.
Well, we talk about teachers and like that, adding a class.
Right.
When you have kids in school and you get to know some of these teachers,
that's right.
Some of them there are there. 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, it is unbelievable. And not only are they there at 5:30 in the morning to do their work, you'll see them there 5:30 in the morning and staying after to add tutoring, mm-hmm. helping, offering children, come by afterwards. It is amazing to me to watch how much our teachers go above and beyond. And being in my world with still 7-year-old twins where you're at soccer games and all these little parks and rec sports, if you ever go and you sit by a teacher, I feel like all they do is grade papers.
Yes, that's what they do.
I always see that.
Yes.
And it does. It sort of, you know, it melts my heart because I'm so glad we have those dedicated people. And then at the same time, you think they should be able to sit there and enjoy the game just like I can. And they just go above and beyond.
And really, in teachers at any level, I know when we've given just our family, we'll give paper or supplies of just saying, we've got these extra supplies here. Can you use these?
Yeah,
and
well,
it's like, even if it's used stuff, they'll take it.
I am so glad you said that, because next week is Teacher Appreciation Week. And I think that's a good time to give the supplies, because you're right. It's hard for a teacher to ask for things that they need. But just know that they need them, and maybe ask them or what they're needing, or just making sure your children's crayons or you have another box sitting in, or you know, they're worn out and they need help. So next week, being a Teacher Appreciation Week, this is a great time to go out and pick up a little extra something for your teacher, maybe something to make them smile.
Yeah, no, because like we say, their job has only gotten tougher when we talk about mandates and when we talk about some of this testing that is so tied to schools and their own particular classroom.
That's right. That is exactly right. And I think that we can all agree that we're over-tested and no one enjoys the SOL that I've ever met. But they are still required to do them. In fact, they're coming. More SOLs are on the horizon. And the teachers are working hard, and I feel like in talking to some teachers, some of their creativity even gets taken away because they're so forced to teach to a test at times that things that they might do differently, they need to pull back on so they can focus on what they need to focus on. And I would really like to see in the future as we work, and I know our school board works for it, to have that some of the testing pulled back and some of the mandates on these teachers pulled back so they can do what their passion is.
No, there have been different times I've told different teachers about, you ought to talk to this person or you ought to read this book. Yeah. And they've said, oh, I would love to, but we don't have time to do that kind of thing.
Because, that's right.
And
mm-hmm.
especially when you have a year like this past year with missing so many days of school and trying to cram things in. It's not easy.
Those snow days, although they're fun for a lot of people for a couple of days, I think for all of us after a while, we start to worry about getting some instruction in, and teachers really worry about that. So you're right. They are definitely pressured a lot of times, and we try not to make it that way, but it is.
The school calendar was something that a couple of years ago was switched back to school in Spotsylvania. Has been starting the last few years now after Labor Day. With the way the weather's been, do you see that being revisited at all or looked at?
No, I actually think that the school calendar, by the way, is on the division's website. Feel free to go to the division's website and you can see next year's calendar. I really don't, and I'm going off of this year. If you think about this year, we did this when planning for what could happen, and it did. And we still, even with all of those days, only had one minor adjustment. Next year should be even better because we're going to have all three levels the exact same amount of time in the school building. So whereas this year you had middle school and high school had time left over, our elementary pushed it to within an hour. We won't have that situation. Everyone's on the same time. So if we do run out of days, we all three run out of days. So I think that we have planned pretty well for that.
We've talked about this before, but I know there's nothing imminent. But you have said that it may be a point of discussion. It's with other schools. It is as far as the start time for high school students.
It is, and that's something that since I have even lived in the state of Virginia for many years, that I have always looked at. But our community is not used to the high school going last. But it is very common in other states, and statistics show and studies show it is advantageous for high schoolers to be the ones that go later in the morning, and the elementary go first, and of course the middle would stay the same. However, in a community, one thing that I think is very important about being an elected official or a school division or anything is to be in touch with your community. It's got to be something that we all buy into. Of course, we won't make everyone happy, but right now there needs to be more discussion in the community. Mm-hmm. We need to know where people stand. I think studies prove that it may help in learning, but at the same time, how many studies are out there? We need to look and see, are there studies on the other way? It is something that is absolutely being looked at by the calendar committee and studied. At this point, we have not received a briefing at the school board level on that, but I do expect one in the next year or two.
But the calendar committee has turned into some big issues. I mean, whoever thought, you know, a calendar committee, that'll be one of the, that's one of the low-level things, but not lately.
That is the low-level committee that has risen to the top one.
Yeah.
I mean, they have become so important because who knew that these winters were coming, and then all of the controversy on what time a child should start, and then whether we go before Labor Day or after Labor Day, which is usually very controversial as well. So they have definitely risen to the top. They're doing a great job. And I would point out that we had a strong calendar committee in place, and thank goodness we didn't have to rush and scramble to put people together. We had a place to go. So
you got to think that one of these winters we're due again for just a mild winter.
If you remember the year we had the earthquake and we missed the first day of school, we did not have one snow day that year.
That's right. Yeah.
Not one. And that's in recent memory, so it could happen.
It just hasn't lately. And Dr. Baker always talks about the fact since he's been superintendent, we've had bad winters.
He has not been blessed with a good winters, that's for sure. But you know what? It could happen. Maybe next year. Who knows?
Spotsylvania School Board member Amanda Blaylock here. More coming up on Town Talk. We'll talk about social media when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania School Board member Amanda Blaylock here with us this morning as we talk about some school issues. One more thing on the budget, and then we're gonna talk about a couple of fun things. One of the things that is not being changed or reduced from the budget, the pay to participate number is going to go down a little bit this next year.
It is, and that was really a strong effort from one of my colleagues, Baron Braswell. He sort of ran on that when he was elected, and he's stuck to it, and we are able to reduce it a little bit, and it will probably go that way. It'll be reduced in small increments until we are able to phase that out completely.
So that's going to go down to what, to $75? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is one thing that if you've got athletes in school next year in Spotsylvania, you'll pay just a little bit less. Couple of other things. You are known far and wide for Facebook and school closings and how you get the first word, and students are always talking about Amanda Blaylock's Facebook page. She, you know, when is she going to announce that school's closed? You've added a new feature though this spring.
I did. I thought this year that when the proms, it was prom season, and we just enjoyed the Spotsylvania High School's prom last Saturday night, and we have the upcoming ones. But I decided this year that I wanted to start featuring students and posting their pictures, and it went really well last week. And so I look forward to the other ones. We'll see how many pictures come in, but you know, it's a big, huge night for the kids, and a lot of the girls have been looking for dresses for months, and the boys are all dressed up and they're handsome, and it's a big night for them. It's a moment in their time, and it's a milestone in their life. And so I thought I would highlight that if they choose to send me a picture. So I had posted, share your pictures. And they did. And it was so much fun for me. And I hope it was fun for the community to kind of see our kids all dressed up and looking very grown and the beautiful dresses. And it seemed to be very successful. But I've added a few features that. And now when we have a teacher, when our teachers of the year were announced, I always ask people to tell me a little story about a good experience with that teacher. And it's just kind of, I think, fun for the community to share and read some positive things. And it's a way to keep it very light and positive.
Well, I didn't know you were doing it. And then the last weekend I started, I mean, parents just loved it. That their kids were on your Facebook page. And it is fun to look through and see all those kids.
I mean, how fun for parents. I mean, a lot of us have kids that are that age that are going to prom to see it as a bigger picture and as a whole and the excitement. And then a lot of them go in groups and do fun shots. And so I'm hoping to get a lot in the future in the next four proms that are coming up over the next weekends.
Well, and you continue to use social media for a lot of, I mean, you're using it in a way that no one else around here that's in any kind of an elected official is using it as.
It's fun for me, actually, and I do spend a lot of time on my phone. Almost everything I do is from my iPhone. I never open a laptop to do anything. So it's fun for me, and I spend a lot of time on it. I have a very supportive family, and they allow me to do things like the prom pictures and let me have my time, and it's just been so much fun for me. But the bigger part of it is it allows me to connect with the community. Mm-hmm. And then that way, if there is a problem, they can share that with me. And that's on Twitter as well. The Twitter, I really find I've connected with the kids there. And when, you know, you'd be surprised, they have issues too. And there's things that they want addressed. And they can send me a private message, and I can direct them where to go or who to speak to or who you need to go to in your school to talk about that. So just like parents, they private message me with issues or where do I need to go. I'm able to help them instantly in real time. And I think that's something as a parent I would have wanted. So that's exactly how I run my social media. What would I want? And it's pretty easy. One reason I ran for office is I remember being a parent and feeling like I had no voice. I really felt like no matter what I went in and said or how much I argued a point or really thought I had a valid place, I didn't feel heard. And I think that as a school board member, I can give a platform to people to be heard.
Well, with graduation coming up, and you'll be sitting up on the platform at a lot of different schools, the high schools around, and that's got to be an exciting time to see the kids, to see the parents, the grandparents.
That is probably the biggest portion of my paycheck is graduation weekend. I say that a lot. If people who know me know, I say that. That is so exciting for me. It's very tiring. You go to five in a very short amount of time, five graduations. But it is so rewarding to watch the children walk across the stage, regardless if they're decorated with all their tassels or don't have one. The thing that makes me so proud is they have accomplished the thing that will put them in the next phase of their life, whether it be the work force, military, trade, community college or university, they have done the hard work to get there. And it just is, I can't express to you how rewarding it is. I love the speeches. I love watching the kids. You see some come across very animated, some very subdued. It's just a fun time. It's just a fun time.
And we talk about the budgets and the numbers and you've got to do it, but the payoff is...
Oh, this is why you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, every day that you set up and you worry about a budget or I have the frustration I had in the numbers, it is very easy to get over that. All you have to do is go visit a school. Go sit down at lunch and talk to a kid. Tomorrow I'm chaperoning a field trip. I can't wait because that is so much fuel for me and it just keeps me going. It's so easy to love being a school board member because what we work for is the kids. And it's just, I don't know, they're just wonderful.
And with... you mentioned Teacher Appreciation Week next week. If you've got kids in school, send something for your teachers.
Even if it's a note, have your child make maybe a homemade card or something. Yeah. It could be anything, but just let them know that they're appreciated. And speaking of special teachers, I want to announce that Friday night we're having our Sage Banquet and our Teacher of the Year will be announced. And on May 11th, if you have a Teacher of the Year or your child had a Teacher of the Year, tune into your school board meeting because we will be honoring them and saying a little something about each one of them.
We've had a lot of teachers. My son will graduate and be the last from Spotsylvania County Schools, and we've had just over the years some fantastic teachers.
I'm sure. So,
Amanda Blaylock with the Spotsylvania School Board. Thanks for coming in. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
That's it for Town Talk. See you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.